Please turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. As we meditate on the wonderful way of the Lord to bring the good news to us of salvation in Him, in His grace. this month, we'll be concentrated on the celebration of Christ, and we'll be moving on to a short series about the majesty of Christ. But today we linger on because there's a transition that we need to make. And the transition is in the very passage that we have before us on how to listen or how to understand this one single priority that must be in our life in order for us to come to know the Lord. So let's come back to see this transition and to see ourselves in this season that we need to hear this message. Starting in verse 38. Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." But we have your word before us, and we pray that you will cause our spirit to make the choice, the right choice, the only choice, in obedience. We thank you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I just mentioned that as we enter into the Christmas season, the celebration of our Christ in His coming for us and His being a baby in a manger, you know, wonderful things concerning Him and the first coming. But it is also for us on the receiving end to be ready and to be able to receive. And so I struggle a little bit and I say, you know, should I move forward into the season right away? But I keep lingering on this this message because I know that we have to be ready and we have to be prepared. And this is how the Lord is calling us to understand what we need to do. So it is a fitting lesson as we need to learn and hear what it is that we must have in our heart in order to receive the Lord in the way that He comes to us. But also it helps us to hear the Christ, to share about the Christ, help us to have the right priority because this will be a season that will be very very busy for many of us, if not all of us. And so we need the right priority. So only one thing, the Christian priority. The title is the only one thing, obviously, that comes from the statement of the Lord. Only one thing is needed. Only one thing is necessary. Now, we know that's what He said, but what does He mean? And how are we to apply this great and profound statement into our life at this moment? It has to do with priority, right? We know that. And we will learn a little bit more about the priority and how it works in our life. And so the subtitle we have here is The Christian Priority, just to help us to zero in the principle at hand. Now, when we use the word priority, sometimes we use it as it stands on its own. It's sort of like, you know, by itself, when we say something is a priority, we mean that it is an important thing, it's a main thing, it's most necessary. But if we just look at the word priority, it's helpful to know that it's come from the word prior. You know, the word prior. And we all know what prior means, right? Prior means very simple that it is before. It is ahead of, it is preceding. A priority then is something that comes before everything else. It precedes everything else, it's ahead of everything else. So in a way, it is foundational, it is essential, it is antecedent to everything else that follows. So when we talk about priority, we don't just say, oh, this is important to me. We are saying that of all the things that is happening, This sin is the one thing that must precede everything else. Now, when we ask a guy on the street the question, what is the one thing in your life that precedes everything else? I mean, we may get a whole host of different answers from him. But if we are to ask a Christian, like if I'm going to ask you this morning, what is the one thing in your life that precedes everything else? Then we should get one same answer. Because our priority is not from our feeling or how we said it. Our priority comes from the Word. And it is here this morning that the Lord declared to us only one thing that is necessary. So we need to be able to answer that. But for exercise, let's do this. Write down on your outline note the number one priority of your life as a Christian. What is it that precedes everything else? I mean, if we ask, and I'm asking very precisely, write down that one thing in your life right now. Not two or three, because it's easier to give a list of priority, right? A list of priority, and then we negotiate between them and other things that might be important, like, you know, God, relationship, church, family, job, witnessing, ministry, service, a whole host of things. But to zero in to one thing, one single thing, and the Lord said only one thing is necessary, then we need to exercise that thinking, and may God help us to answer. Now, if you use the Westminster Catechism and answer, it is to know God and to enjoy Him forever, you would be right. That is the chief end of man. Or if you use Romans 8:29 to say that it is for us to be like Christ, to conform to the image of His Son, we would be right, because that is God's purpose for us, and we're just in a position we ought to be in order to know God and enjoy Him forever. But knowing God, if that is and it is the chief end of man, and it is to be like Christ, and it is a call for us, but something has to go before that. Because if we don't know God, then there's no way to enjoy Him. If we don't know what Christ is like, then there's no way to become more like Him. So before everything else, we have to have one thing, and this one thing is declared to us this morning, and that is we must hear from God. We must hear His Word, and we must understand what He is saying to us. So that is the priority, and we may say that priority, and we may say it correctly, answer the question correctly, but it is for us to live it out. That is why it is important. So this morning, we want to look at the Christian priority, our priority. And from this passage, there are three things that we want to note down. Number one, the only one need, and that is the Word from the Lord. The only need, that is the Word from the Lord. And then the grave danger as we will face, and that is living in the flesh or serving in the flesh. The grave danger, living in the flesh or serving in the flesh. And then the only choice, respond to the Lord. Let's just take the story as it comes. And it will unfold before us. And I hope not only in terms of understanding, but also in terms of application, as I said, especially this season, but moving forward all of our life. The only need is the Word from the Lord, as we see the main point of this passage, and that's easy to see. And we want to highlight the development of that and the detail of that so that it grips our heart. And we can identify where we need to make changes so that this becomes the only one. But I want to come back to that word prior as we talk about priority. This is the one thing that is prior to everything else. This is the one thing that prior to all other needs. And the example for us is, how do we separate other needs out? How do we put this one thing prior to everything else? And so the prior thing, the priority, the one thing needed here is the Word from the Lord. But let's start from the story now, verse 38. Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Now we are in the last 6 months of Jesus' earthly ministry, and he has left Galilee. He has done ministry in Judea, in Galilee, and the nation by and large have rejected him, and now he traveled mainly with his disciples and entered into an intense phase of training the 12, we'll get them ready for the work. But if you look at the structure of Luke's presentation, this is very important, because from chapter 11 to chapter 19, we enter in the main section of Jesus' teaching. We will have intense teaching in so many different objects. Miracles will take back seat. They only mention once in a while, and the emphasis will be the Lord's teaching. And so the students of the Word will be going through this whole teaching, knowing this has come directly from the Lord in a very intense form, in a compact form. He laid out everything before us. It's sort of like a final semester in preparation for the disciples. You know, they have to take a final examination after this 6 months. And so the teaching dominates this section. So Luke glosses over many the details so that he can focus on the main thing. Luke is a very careful historian, and he's a detailed man. As we look, chapter 1 and 2 about the birth of Christ, for example. But here he just say something like, you know, as they were traveling along, he entered a village. He didn't say what it is, but what he wants to get us ready is to the topic, the teaching that Jesus will be teaching in chapter 11 on to 19. And Jesus will be teaching quite a lot about prayer, about Satan, about demons. He talked about divine judgment, about hypocrisy, persecution, suffering. He talked about greed, contentment. He talked about money. He talked about unity, righteousness, holiness. He talked about the kingdom of God. He talked about divorce, hell, repentance, forgiveness, and he talked a lot about faith. And all these things is before us, so it is not coincidental that Luke put this section right here in order for us to get that one thing, one principle, so that we can receive from the Lord. Because he said, here guys, I'm going to present Jesus Christ as Savior of the world, and this is what he will be teaching directly in an intense form. And unless you get this priority right, you're going to miss the whole boat. You're going to miss the whole boat. And so he said, I'm going to share with you the Christ and his instruction, but you need to make this one decision. This one thing must be in your life. And so we have a wonderful section about Martha and Mary, as if Luke is saying, let me share with you an incident in the life of Martha and Mary that help you to really zero in what it is you have to have in your heart. So that's where we are, and so they are on the road, and the story comes that he entered a village, and the woman named Martha. Well, we know what the village is, even though it's not written down here. It is Bethany, because in John chapter 11, we have the statement about that. Now a man named Lazarus, do you remember him and the story of Lazarus being sick and die, and God, Jesus raised him. Start out saying he was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. So this is Bethany, the village. It's just under 2 miles from the eastern wall of Jerusalem. And if you go, you know, just over the top of Mount Olives and now on the other side, then there'll be Bethany. And Jesus comes here very often. It's like every time he goes to Jerusalem, he would stop by at Bethany and spend the time in the house of Martha. Very interesting the way Luke said this, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. We know that would be Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, and the way it is mentioned here as well as in John 11, sounds like Martha is the older sister. Lazarus sounds like the younger brother, even though in that culture he would be the man of the house. But it said here that Martha took the initiative. She is in control, and she welcomed Jesus and the disciples into her home. Now, I just want to mention a little bit here, because Luke is glossing over the important part of the relationship. So if you would turn to John 11 and just look at verse 5, because this is not just, you know, passing by. Like I said, every time it seemed Jesus come to Jerusalem, he would spend time in Bethany and at the home of Martha. And so this incident help us to see the connection between Jesus and the family, and then importantly, the connection to us. So John 11 verse 5 said that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So identify Bethany as the town of Mary and the sister Martha. The town is known by these two women because, number one, Mary was two. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the incident where Mary worshipped the Lord has made Bethany a place on the map, and Jesus promised that wherever the gospel is proclaimed, the act of Mary in worshiping Him will be proclaimed as well. So that's part of the relationship of Bethany, the family, a special relationship Jesus had with Martha, her sister Mary, and Lazarus with this young family. And so we are saying that as Jesus come to this place, to this home, it is like coming home. It is a place where he find love and acceptance and welcome, where he can relax, where he can eat good food. You know, you're traveling with 12 men who, fishermen, they probably don't cook that well. And so I'm sure on the human side of Jesus, he will appreciate a good hot meal here at Martha's place. And so Martha make quite a big deal about serving the Lord, you know, as we see here. But let's just note that it is not an easy thing to host, 13 men at least. With preparation at that point, there's no pizza to go to order. There's no, Chinese food to take home. You just have to go catch the chicken and pluck out the feathers and do it from scratch, and just a lot of work to serve. Now, with all that as a special relationship, as the connections here, Luke just plow right through that to the main point. And so he even if those things are important in understanding, Luke is making one single point here that we must see. So he said that as he entered the village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home, and then introducing the theme and make the connection right away, she had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. So Luke is identifying that, oh yes, all this relationship and all these years and everything, but remember, the single most important thing that you must have in the relationship with Jesus is right here. That yes, there's love, there's service, there's a lot of connections, and Martha is tending to all of that. But the single most important, the priority, as we say, would be here, and that is Mary illustrating this principle by sitting at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. The introduction of Mary is very brief. Martha, has a sister called Mary. That's it. We are not told anything about Mary. We don't know anything about her physically, anything about her temperament, anything about her personality. And it's amazing if you read, there's a lot of conjecture about what type of person Mary would be. You know, she would be the kind of quiet, contemplative, deep thought kind of person. But if you read about Mary, she's very bold, she's very decisive, she's very firm, she's very strong, and yes, she's very deep as well. And so the point is not what kind of person Mary is, but the point is, what does Mary do? What Mary did in the presence of the Lord as he come often to their home. And so here, what she did, that's all we know by Luke here, is that Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But that's enough to know. That's enough to know the point that Luke is making here. The point is the listening to God's word, the hearing of God's word, and the priority of it. And so the illustration or the story that bring out the principle is here. There are a lot of things to do in this relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things that needful in the service of Christ and the ministry of Christ, as Martha also illustrate. But the single most important thing here is shown by Mary, the listening to the word, the hearing of the word. So, as we mentioned, point number one, the only need, the word of the Lord. we see here the thing that Mary is doing. But I find it fascinating also that that Jesus, as he entered the home of his friends, you know, he would be, he should be, I guess, we would guess that he should relax, you know, kind of kick off his sandals, sip on coffee or tea, I don't know what they serve him there, and just chat about things. But no, he's going there, and what does he do? He teach. He teaches again. The reason we know that he's teaching because Mary was sitting at the Lord's feet. And that is the picture or the gesture of a student listening, learning in a formal teaching situation. So the picture before us is Jesus teaching everywhere. You know, he teaches the crowd, he teaches in the synagogue, he proclaims the truth everywhere. And even when he comes home, probably as close to a home as he has, he will be teaching too. He will be sitting there and he'll be formally, in a way, presenting the truth of God. So, like I said, you know, it might be a time to take a nap or watch Lakers on TV or play Cthulhu. I don't know what they do to relax there. He just takes the time, even with a smaller, more intimate audience among his friends, he's teaching the truth. I don't know, I find comfort in that because, you know, and also a way of encouragement to you as well, if you are teachers and pastors, and that we should rather be known as teaching too much and too often rather than teaching too little and chatting a lot. You know, it's if the main complaint of the church is that we teach too much Bible, we go too deep and too long, it's probably a problem that we can live with instead of, you know, he's teaching nothing, he's just giving sugar-coated stuff for us to drink. So I'm just making note of that is, you know, the truth is given in all situations and Christ is teaching and the word is available. So what we have here is the attitude, the readiness of the person to take the responsibility, the opportunity to learn from the Lord, even when it's kind of odd timing. You know, in a home, you know, when you're supposed to be relaxing, you're teaching again, and this odd timing is exactly the problem Martha runs into, because she didn't expect the Lord to be teaching like that, or at least not expecting Mary to give herself to such a hearing instead of doing something else. But look at Mary here. It's very instructive. Mary is seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. Let me just focus on the word listening first, because the verb Luke uses indicates that she listens in a continual sense, meaning that, you know, she is given into listening, continue to be devoted, engaged in the act of listening. And not like, you know, sit down and then just say, okay, now talk to me. But the sense is that, you know, an active sense of listening, paying attention to every word, registering every concept, you know, working hard to tune out all the distractions, focusing on one thing, and that is the word of the Lord. So I just want to point out that listening is an effort. It's work. It's hard work in order to listen. And sometimes we forget that and we just say, now talk to me, and whoever has to say, just say it, and I'll just passively sit there, and whatever comes to my ear, comes to my ear. You never be able to listen to the word like that, especially in this church, the way I talk and the way we run with all the information flowing. You got to be engaged. You got to pay attention. You got to perk up your ears. Concentration here totally and completely, Mary perked up her ears and gave all attention to the Lord. But her posture is very instructive as well. Not only that she was listening to the Lord's word, but that very remarkable for the woman at that time, she was seated at his feet. Now, the rabbis don't allow this. You know, women can learn, but in the back, you know, in the synagogue, they are separated out. They're not even allowed to come near. They just gather up in the back. But the word here is that Mary is sitting right next to Jesus, right next to Jesus. And And that's the emphasis here. You know, they have all these men gathering to listen, and Mary would just fought her way right in there and sit next to Jesus so that she can be as close as she could get, as near as she could be. And her position indicated an intense interest in learning, in his teaching. She would come as close as she can so that she wouldn't miss a word. And so we can say that, you know, she's fighting, working really hard in order to listen to the word. And there she is right alongside Jesus sitting at his feet. So learning here is a focus that Luke is pointing out to us, that it is very extraordinary, out of the norm that would be a Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, now listening intensely. And it is in this contrast, this is the one act, the one thing that is prior to everything else. That is prior to everything else. We will come to that at point number three, but let's just look at that. And Jesus said, but one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part. That what is Mary is doing is condoned, is confirmed, is commanded by the Lord to say that she is doing the very, exactly the right thing concerning the word. So we want to take that picture to heart. Drawing near, paying attention, give it all the priority prior to everything else as it is here, and that is the choice that we must make. So it is a single priority for all Christians to hear the word of God. I mean, I asked the question before, you know, what's the one thing that we must give ourselves to do? Now, the result would be knowing God and enjoying God forever. The result could be becoming more and more like Christ. But without this one thing, we will never get there. And that is to give ourselves to the hearing of the word. That if you cut off yourself from daily hearing of the word, you cut off yourself from the gathering of God's people under the word, and if you don't take this seriously, there's no way to enjoy God, there's no way to know God, there's no way to be more and more like Christ. And so Jesus say here to the story Luke is presenting to us, that we ought to do what Mary is doing. It's not about personality. It's not about you being extrovert or introvert. It's about hearing the word. Drawing near, the closer the better. By the way, the closer the better. I always see three row of seats open here. Maybe, you know, that may be a change, maybe. But also, I just want to point out that Mary didn't care about the conventional system, you know. She didn't care about what people say, you know. Why are you sitting next to Jesus? Why are you a woman here learning among us rather than you in the back? She said, this is what I do. This is important. This is the prior thing to everything else. So she would just be there, do the things that Jesus said, exactly what he wants her to do. So sometimes you have to stand out. You have to move forward. You have to do the things necessary in order to receive the word. And so what are we to do? We ought to say, this is prior to everything else. Prior to everything else. We'll develop that a little bit more. But turn to the next person, the person next to you, and say, prior means before. Okay? Say that. Prior means before. Because sometimes we do give a hearing to the word, but way after many things. Way after many things. And here Jesus is saying through this lesson, and that is, it is prior to everything else. If we don't do this, we will have the difficulties that we'll see right ahead of us. And that is point number two, the grave danger of living, serving in the flesh. So this is our one responsibility. Very basic, very simple. Give a hearing to the word. I mean, not just gathering in Sunday, it has to be, but wherever the word is given to us, daily, weekly, in all the opportunities, we must see ourselves in the position of Mary, that we fight hard to be there, that we take the time, the focus to listen, that we do the hard work of receiving so that God's word can be heard in us through and be given to us. Now, that is in contrast to Martha. And Martha is a wonderful person. We learn of her as a woman of faith. She has a transformation like no one else. In John 11, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ giving revelation to Martha on the same basis, equivalent to his revelation to Peter. So we know that this is just one incident in Martha's life. Unfortunately, it identified her with this as busy Martha. And maybe we should learn from that yes, she's fallen here, but she has risen up in response. But let's just look at the danger here. But Martha was 40. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." So now we come to Martha, and the grave danger here is obvious. The way she behaves in this situation, as we look into that, is just amazing. A person like Martha, the older sister, and all this, and all the relationship with Jesus, that she would come to this. But she did not have the right priority. She did not live out the one and only requirement in the relationship with Jesus Christ. She did not do the one thing that is needed. And so she is in great danger. And we can see how dangerous it is. It is living in the flesh. It is serving in the flesh. It is doing everything, spending all the effort, and missing the whole thing, missing the whole book, missing the whole point. So it is a special warning for us, I feel like, from God's mercy, especially in the time, a busy time like Christmas, where we have a lot of work to do, a lot of things that we must prepare, a lot of tasks that we must handle. For the good cause of the gospel, obviously, during the Christmas season, and we are called to do a lot of things, but we do not want to miss the boat. We do not want to end up having done everything for nothing. So it is important to note here that one thing needed is the word of the Lord. And we hear the calling, and I want us to also hear the warning here. And as we listen and as we proclaim, we can preach, we can teach, and we still can miss the whole thing ourselves. Now, when we talk about proclaiming and listening to the word, especially in this season, we may have the focus as to the unbelievers, the people who need to hear the good news. Obviously, they do, and we will proclaim it to them. But the focus here is on us. It's about us, about people who know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christians. And surprisingly, there are many Christians, and there are many Marys and many Marthas, but the number of Marthas quite exceed the numbers of Marys. It's in a group like this. There are so many Christians who don't understand how important it is to give to the word of the Lord. And not just the non-Christian or the unbelievers who refuse to hear. There are many Christians who refuse to hear the word. Now, I just use a very strong word, and that is to refuse to listen. There are many challenges to listening to the word of the Lord. Much effort is required to have the right priority and to maintain the right priority, and even greater understanding and commitment to have the hunger for it, to have a demand for it, to seek for it. But the bottom line is, it's still your choice. It's still our choice. But only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen. Jesus said, it is a choice. It is a choice whether you listen or not. It is a choice whether you refuse or not. And so let us bring ourselves to that mirror and understand here. Because it hit rather close to home, when the word comes to us, we either choose to listen or we refuse to. And sometimes we refuse just because we don't choose to listen. We refuse to listen because we don't set it up or allow it to be the prior things for everything else. You know, as we look at Martha, as I mentioned, that she's not hostile to Jesus. She's not opposed to Jesus. She's not the enemy of Jesus. We can say the Pharisee refused to listen. We can see, you know, the people after hearing, you know, eat my flesh and drink my blood, they may say, forget this, I'm not going to listen no more. No, Martha is the one who opens her heart, opens her home, opens her life, give everything to Jesus. And yet, at the same time, in the serving of the Lord, she refuses to listen. And that's where we have to face up, because it's not like, okay, I have nothing to do with Jesus, so I'm not interested in his word. We are saying, like Martha, I love you, Lord. You come to my home, you are welcome. I'll do everything to serve you, and I'll really expand myself to do. And yet, at the very same time we do all of the serving, we refuse to hear his word. And that's the picture here. And maybe I point out another thing here, that Martha and Mary were not in any official ministry, not that we know of. So that didn't change the priority we require of them. You know, well, maybe we say, you know, you're the pastor, you got to listen so that you can, you got to learn so that you can share, you're the leader of the group, you're teaching the class. Obviously, you have to listen, obviously, you have to know the word, and obviously, but the rest, what happened to the rest? The rest is just like Mary and Martha. It is required of you, it's your choice as well. So it is not just because you have a function, but because you are his, because we are his people, that we live by every word that come out of the mouth of the Lord. So we are called to this one thing. Now, the word here is that Martha was distracted with all her preparation. She was distracted. The word distracted is very helpful. And that is the word to be pulled away. The word is to be dragged away, you know. And so, drag about, you know, just like everywhere, dragging you away, to be pulled in one direction or another. So she has many things to do. All her preparation, she has many things to do. Like I said, it's not easy to cook a meal for 13 men, for doing that from the scratch, you know, you have to go chase down the chickens and get the rice or get the dough for the bread. And then more than that, they stay in, then, so, you know, they have to worry about where do you put this man, where would the Lord sleep, you got to get a mattress for, you know, the dew, whatever that they need, the sleeping bag, pillows, and then, you know, where's the water so that they can wash up, and so all of these things, preparations, and Luke gives the plural form, so we understand that there are many, many things, real work. Remember that. This is real work. If it's not done, then people will go hungry. If it's not done right, then there'll be no rest. And people here won't be taken care of. There's nowhere to sleep. And so these are the real things that pull her away, that force her to submit to the tyranny, that dictate her priority by their demands. Now let me just add also to say that Martha is doing good things, biblical things, responsible things. Nothing wrong with hospitality. The Bible tells us to do that. Nothing wrong with the woman taking charge of doing this at home, because she is in charge of this. She's being the keeper at the home, and the Bible tells us that. Set a very high priority. Even in Timothy 5:10 said, if you do not serve the saints, if you don't show hospitality, then, you know, don't put a woman like that on the list of people to be taken care of. So this thing has a very high priority in biblical norm. And obviously she's doing it for the Lord. You know, the guest of all guests, there cannot be anything wrong in serving the Lord, right? You go all out to serve the Lord. Yes, but she was distracted from the one thing that must be first. Not that all these things are wrong. They got to be done, but they have to be done after. They cannot be done first. And her priority was that she did this first before the prior sin. And that's where we face up ourselves. Yeah, the many, many things that must be done. If we don't do the proclamation, people don't come to listen. If we don't prepare for singing, people will not hear the joy in the Lord and the praise of his name. If we don't go out and give flyers, nobody can know how to get here. All those things are necessary, biblical, and the function that we must do. But they are not the prior thing. They cannot be a prior thing. Because if they become the prior thing, we become Martha. And then we will see what happened to us. Probably already happening to us, the same way it's happening to Martha. And that is, well, one little thing here. The word distracted means she had the desire to be there. She wanted to listen. I mean, if this were her choice to go, then the word distracted cannot be used. Meaning she aimed to have the same thing as Mary, that she desired to listen to what the Lord is teaching, but she was distracted, she was pulled away. So other things can enter into the mix and change our priority and mess up the prior thing of our life. And that's what happened in here. She has the desire to listen. It is so powerful, so winsome, so insightful, so profound as the opportunity to listen to the Lord, but other things took her away. Now, not only that she was dragged away, but in the process, her priorities get completely twisted, and her inner person get twisted, and it's really destructive before us. So sometimes when we look at the situation and we say, you know, we have a choice between good and better, a choice between better and best. And so give us the illustration by Martha and Mary here. Martha is doing a good thing, not a bad thing, but the better thing would be what Mary is doing. Or, you know, she's doing good, better, but the best thing is what Mary is doing. I don't like that comparison because simply that when we fail to do the best, we think we're still doing the better. If we fail to do the better, we think we're still doing good. But it is absolutely no good. It is when we get wrong the prior thing, not that the remainder things will still be good. No, the remaining things is all terrible, is all messed up, is all twisted. Martha is blind to the fact that Jesus was speaking and teaching in her home, that the Son of God Himself is now talking and teaching here, and she has he has only a short time left. And this is intense training and happened right there in her home and the opportunity to hear, you know. But she said, dinner couldn't wait. There are mattresses to set out. There are water jugs to fill up. And so the Lord and His truth take the back seat. Now, Martha decides her own priority. But wasn't it it wasn't bad enough that her priority were messed up? But you look at her attitude. Now, because she pursued a wrong set of priority, she is moving in the wrong direction. What happened to her? What happened to her? But Martha was distracted with all her preparation, and he came up to him. Just like that. Now, she started losing the joy of service. She started getting frustrated in doing the service. She became agitated. She became frustrated, and then she got mad. Just mad. You know, if you show hospitality, have you ever have a host that mad at the guest and really show it up? It's kind of ruined the whole occasion, wouldn't it? Right? Hospitality and hostility don't just go together. And now in serving the Lord, in doing the good things, she became the opposite. She's not a host anymore. She's acting like, you know, a spoiled kid. And you are no longer hospitable when you are mad at those you serve. And you are no longer serving with love and gladness when you are seething under your breath that nobody really cares and you don't really get what you deserve. And, you know, being so nice and sweet as you are and loving you are and serve like this and nobody really pay attention. So self-focus get back in a hurry. You know, selfishness just jump out like crazy. And Martha act in a way that show how twisted she was. And I look at this and I'm really scared because, you know, I see reflections of myself and I see reflection in the church like this a lot of time as well. She came to him. So Jesus is teaching the disciples and Mary, and Martha would just march in just like that and say, hey, Lord, could you just hold for a minute? I know that you have important things to say, but I have some important things to say as well. That's her attitude. You know, what she should have done is that when she feels the frustration, when she feels the pain, when she feels the agitation coming, she would just say, oh no, you know, I know what to do. I'm just drop my apron right here. I'm going to walk up, sit down next to Mary, and start listening. I'll catch up with whatever I need to catch up later, but now I just discovered that something is really wrong, and I'm reminded why it is wrong. It's because my priorities are wrong. So now I'm going to fix this right here. I'm going to just change my priority. I'm going to walk in there, drop everything, sit down next to Mary, and listen, and put the prior thing. But she didn't do that. And so that's a warning for us, because once our priority gets twisted, we get twisted. We get twisted from the inside. And just how twisted is this? She would come in and say, "Lord, do you not care?" I mean, you say that to the Lord Jesus? You say to the highest guest in your home, the one that you love, the one that you know cares for you beyond everything else? Now, she would just march in, interrupt his teaching, and say this unbelievable, and give him this indictment. "You don't care, do you, Lord?" That is the most graceless statement ever made to the Lord Jesus Christ. "You don't care, do you, Lord?" You know, that's an attack, a sad attack, by a person who loved Jesus. And remember, this is Martha. She opens her home for Christ. She loves the Lord. She is doing the very service to show her love to the Lord. And then end up, at the same time, showing frustration, you know, hostility, even blasphemy, as he's doing the service to the Lord. She's basically just out of control. Her attitude got twisted, and she cannot contain that flesh working out anymore. She's over the top, you know. She said, "You know, well, you know, Jesus, are you just standing there or sitting there talking about divine life and grace and redemption and heaven, joy, and inner peace, and just banging away on your glorious truth and ignore the fact that the table is not set, and I'm the only one in the kitchen? You forgetting something, Lord?" You know, she could have done this. Sneak up behind Jesus, you know, when she's talking, and say, "Mary." That would be fine. "Hey, Mary, I need help." Or if even that, say, "Excuse me, Lord, can I borrow Mary for a moment?" Okay. Then, no, she's not satisfied with that. She's mad at the Lord. Mad at his insensitivity. Mad at his, you know, his blindness to what's going on around him. And say, "Lord, I know that you know the secret of time and eternity. I know you all the needs of life and death. I know you know righteousness and sin and glories of heaven. But do you know that I only have two hands? And do you know that there are 14 of you? You and 12 and this useless little sister sitting there doing nothing. Do you know that I have two hands? You forgetting that?" That's her attitude. But not only that, she bossed the Lord around. It's amazing. She bossed the Lord around. And then she said something like this. "You know, I assume that you do know I only have two hands, right? So tell that little lady there to get up of her butt and go help me." Well, Luke is a lot nicer to say, "Then tell her to help me." But obviously behind that, a lot of frustration, anger, hostility. And then we say, "What is happening to you, Martha?" Or perhaps we should say, "What is happening to us?" Well, it's happening to us because we should not cast a stone too fast, do we? Before we jump on Martha and be the first one to cast a stone, we must recognize our twisted priority, our twisted attitude, our twisted character, because the prior thing is not prior in our life. So the Lord here is issuing a very strong indictment to his people, we ourselves included this morning, that when we look at Martha and wonder how her priorities are so twisted, how she could become so insensitive even to the Lord, how she could act and talk so selfishly to the Lord, we only need to look at ourselves and our life and ask about our own priorities. You know, sometimes the married life, time to worship, for the word of the Lord on Sunday, we have a hard time fit that into our 168 hours of the week. You know, sometimes we have to ask, what is it there that keep us from hearing the word of God, even when we commit the time? even when we hear, we don't listen, you know. What's going on? What caused us to twist our priority at times the way that we do? Now, I'm not saying that all of us are Marthas, there are Marys around here, but we would just say that as the Marthas in us as well, we need to face up with why we set up the priority the way that we are. You know, sometimes relative visiting, sometimes fixing cars, sometimes going to work just to make the boss happy, washing clothes, sometimes just sleeping, and sometimes watching Lakers game, whatever that we set priority, take away from the time to say that this is prior to everything else for us. So, frustration, pain, you know? Have you ever served and felt so frustrated at somebody, so irritated by something, so mad at some situation, so bent out of shape by some behavior, that you wish you'd just say a few choice words like Martha and be done with and quit? The bread is burning, you know, and she's just sitting there, and he keeps talking and won't quit, and I'm the only one in the kitchen and nobody cares, you know, that kind of attitude. Now, I say this because it is a straight application from the text, and because it hits at home, and because it hits me. I know that feeling. I've said a few choice words myself, and I've been, you know, thinking of heading north many times to say, heck of it. Why? It's not the people, it's not the work, it's not the service, it's not the bread that's burning, it's not, chasing the chickens around. It is in the heart. It is the prior is no longer prior in our life. It is the work that becomes the tyranny that dictates what we do. It is no longer the joy in service. And I'm afraid for a busy church like our church, it is not the busyness that kills us. It is that in that busyness we have forgotten to set ourselves the prior thing prior. And that we must say that, you know, when I sense that frustration, it is a warning. When I begin to hit the very people I serve, it is a red flag. And I need to stop right there and then and ask what is prior, the prior thing that I must set in my life. And for those of us who serve, especially in leadership, when we carry the weight of other people, when we have to make things happen, when things rise and fall on our shoulder, we ought to get this in straight. Are we going to end up so frustrated? We will be bitter against the very Lord that we serve, never by the people and the opportunity given to us. I speak that in experience. And I know some of you identify with me as well as with Martha. And sometimes we're sick of the church just because we are called to serve at the church. It's not the church. It's a prior thing in our life, no longer prior. No longer prior. And we only need to look in the mirror to know. And so, but things are really twisted, you know, for us. Because sometimes we look and we say, no, the prior thing is there. I'm here every Sunday early. I have daily devotion. I have prayer. I have time. And yet, frustration still comes. Yet, this tendency to say, you know, that person really, really make me mad. Mary, why are you not doing this? Because we may spend the time, but we may not hear. Oh, maybe we not too. The prior thing is not just at the time. The prior thing is like Mary, drawing near, yearning, listening, absorbing, praying, applying, and say, Lord, I want to be like you. I want to hear what you say. And I just yearn of everything in my heart to know what you want of me. And that's the thing. So what do we do? Number three, we respond to the Lord. So the Lord answered, verse 41, answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. You know, we see the problem of hearing the word as we see the indictment against Martha and against us here. Number two, for the flesh creeping in or exploding in our lives, in our service, then we need to hear this invitation from the Lord. Because this is how the Lord responded to Martha. Martha, Martha. I don't know. Maybe he got up from his seat. Maybe he come around and put his arm around Martha and just comfort her and say, Martha, you know, Martha. Now he could have said, whoa, Martha, back up, will you? Back up. Are you listening to what you're saying? You know, can you hear what you're actually saying to me? You know, he could have said that, and then get Martha to where she should be. Or maybe many of us say, oh, sorry, Martha, I guess you're right. We have been so insensitive, leaving you in the kitchen, working by yourself in the kitchen. Now everybody up, let's just cut it short here, and everybody now go into the kitchen and pitch in and help Martha. You know, we're so insensitive to her. I think that would be the norm, the way that we modern Christian in our sophisticated relationship would do that. Okay, let's just go help Martha out. And sorry, Martha, we've been insensitive. No, the Lord didn't do that. Because that would be affirming the wrong principle. That would be just short-term comfort and no transformation. The Lord knows the priority was twisted. The Lord knows that the prior is no longer prior. The Lord knows that Martha needs help, not just a temporary comfort pat in the head, on the back, and say, you know, everybody pitch in. So Jesus corrected Martha, but with love and kindness and grace, and say, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. I understand that, Martha, but you still need not. You still need to understand the prior as a prior thing. So he said this amazing statement. Only a few things are necessary, really only one. But only one thing is necessary. Only one thing, Lord. Only one thing is necessary, Martha. What is the one thing? Maybe we just let the word tell us and find comfort in that and guidance in that. So turn with me in a few places in Scripture. First, let's turn to Psalm 27, verse 4. And let the word tell us, How do we change our priority? And verse 4 says, one thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. David said, you know, many, many things are important in my life, in my kingdom, and all the things that I have to do, but only one thing I ask from the Lord, and this is what I will seek, that I will be able to behold the beauty of the Lord, that I will see Him in His Word. Psalm 73, 25, 26. Whom I have in heaven but You, Lord, and the earth has nothing I desire besides You. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Lord, I don't want anything on this earth. I don't care about anything on this earth. You alone. You are the prior thing for me. Psalm 16:11, You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in Your presence, with eternal pleasures at Your right hand. Pleasures, you know, is not duties that we have to listen. It's not like, man, I got to go to and listen to this again. but say, it is pleasure, Lord. That's what I seek, pleasure in You and Your right hand. Let me just ask you to turn to Philippians chapter 3. And it is a little long passage to read, but it's really helpful to see the priority, the one thing that Paul set into his life. He said there are many things. I mean, Paul is the man of service. If anybody work hard, Paul is the one working hard for the ministry. He spent his life, but amazing, he keep the prior thing prior. He's able to stand firm. And then you see that Paul struggled with people in and out of his life, the ups and downs of church and pain and ministry, but he never gets bitter. You know, he's able to handle that because this is what he said in Philippians chapter 3. Let me just read from verse 8. I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. I count everything as lost so that I can gain Christ. And what a Christ that I gain, I want to have fellowship with him, both in the life of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering, so I can be conformed to him. And Paul said, I'll keep that one thing always before me. Always before me in the things that I do for the Lord. So Mary understand the word prior. That's what the Lord said. There's only one thing important. There's one thing important, and Mary has chosen that. And we talk about the choice, right? Each one of us have a choice to make. Each one of us, as we sit here, you have a choice to listen, or you have a choice to refuse. We have a choice to draw near to the Lord and say, Lord, this is the prior thing, or we can be distracted by many things, even good things, even serving the Lord. But watch out for the picture of Martha when we look into the mirror. You know, the resentment against the Lord himself, the resentment against God's people, the frustration that we feel doing the work. And we say, that is the telltale sign that the prior things are no longer there. So it comes prior to faith, because by hearing, faith comes, even for believers. It comes prior to worship, because we cannot worship the God we don't know. It comes prior to service, because we cannot serve God the way we want it, but we can serve God the way pleasing to him. And we only can do so when we know his heart, his will, and his way. It comes prior to loving, because we cannot love without truth. And it will soon become selfish manipulation or emotionalism if it's left to us. It comes prior to everything else, because eternal life is knowing the Lord. So the Lord said, choose well. The only thing is necessary, only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. The Lord said, if you choose this, it will be yours forever. I'm not going to take you back to the kitchen with Martha and take you from this choice. No, I'm going to bring Martha here with you. And so as we make those choices, it's not just personal. If you are head of the family, you make this choice, you make that for your family. If you're head of ministry, you make this choice, your ministry will see people coming to sit down beside you listening to the Lord. If you are at the church and you say the word is fundamental and we must make this prior to everything else, there'll be people who sit down and say, yes, this will be prior to everything else in this church. And so it is important for us to say, Mary has chosen the best. And the Lord said, I will not take it away from her. So he comes, as we mentioned, in this season, Christmas, to reveal us to us the Father, to reveal to us love, grace, peace, joy. And the one thing for us in order to receive is that we can hear from him with a heart open, with commitment to follow, sit next to, draw near, as close as we can, so that we won't miss anything. And if that is not enough to draw us near, let's look back in the mirror and see Martha pointing the fingers at the Lord and say, Lord, don't you care? Let's stand. Speak to us, Lord, as you have already spoken. But speak to us, each one of us, Lord, so that we can choose. So that as we walk out of here under the instruction of this word, the illustration of Martha and Mary, that we understand very well, Lord, help us to choose well. enable us to choose, but help us to choose well. So that the prior thing, the only thing that is necessary, will be in our life. So that we can become more like you, so that we can be more effective in your work, so that we can be more loving to others, so that we can be pleasing to you. And Lord, scare us of the picture, of the image, of the experience that we have repeated many times, that in loving you, we turn against you. In serving you, we turn against your people. That we miss the whole boat after having done everything. Bring us back. Bring us back, Lord. Sit us down. And set the prior thing prior in our life. We thank you. Pray in Jesus' name.